Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Lindy. Can you hear me?
Yes, Zama. Good afternoon. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now. You had muted yourself earlier there. Are you well?
I'm well, Zama. Thank you so much. And how are you?
I'm well. Thank you. And thank you so much for coming through to talk to us here on the Adventist World Radio. Now, last week in our conversation about community service, we learned that it is vital for students to remain connected with their communities and to volunteer on a regular basis, thereby demonstrating good citizenship. Now, community service provides an opportunity for students to build relationships with other people in the community. And while volunteering in community service activities, students develop real work skills in the from the world of work that will help them succeed in schools and beyond. And most importantly, these learners can learn that their work can actually make a real impact on the world. And that's the background of what we spoke about last week. Now, Lindiwe, what are some of the examples of successful community service initiatives that you know about?
Thank you so much, Zama. I just love the background that you laid to this discussion for today. But I just want to say, you know, I just wanted to take a leaf from the book Education, where Illinois talks to us about true education. Mm. He mentions that students are taught and are prepared for effective service in this world and in the world to come. So I can just say that the spirit of prophecy also embraces the fact that we're talking about community service in relation to education. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And at the end of the day, we understand that if children can be in a position to serve in this world, and even in the world to come, they'll be able to do that. So just briefly, talking about successful community service initiatives that students can engage in, there are so many of them. But because we want to focus on those that add value to humanity, I can mention issues around food banks, you know, soup kitchens, get children to be involved in such. We have issues around homeless shelters where students can go and actually be there to work with the people in those shelters, feeding them, clothing them, and, you know, washing them and stuff like that. We also even have projects that involve animal shelters where the students can also be involved in that. These are projects that touch the heart. We also have projects that they can be involved in terms of education mentorship. Remember, they could be probably in matric or in higher grades, and therefore they could be in a position to mentor those that are young for them. So they could offer tutoring services for these junior students. They could also be able to have peer-to-peer mentoring, where they can even mentor their own peers who are not as privileged as they are. Probably, as we know, our schools are different. They could also offer technical assistance, you know, for the senior citizens who are not techno-savvy and may need, you know, to be involved in those things. And also probably under health and wellness also, our students can volunteer in organizations that work with blood donations, you know, the drives that they can be involved. They can be involved with health fairs. They can be involved with mental health seminars and sessions. There's a lot, Zama, that they can actually, students, be involved in disaster relief, environmental education. There is just a lot that the students can be involved in, and those as community initiatives can definitely be successful. Mm.
That's quite a lot, actually. I must say that it's quite comprehensive. I had no idea that there's quite a lot of examples like that. Now, how can students ensure their community service is actually meaningful and impactful, not just an act to pass time?
Oh, that's so true, Zama. Because time is very precious. Even at a young age, students need to know that we are accountable for every second, every minute. So therefore, it's imperative that when they use the time, they use it very wisely. You know, I always believe in research and planning, Zama. When they have to start these things, it goes with the research. I think we mentioned it last time. They need to know, have more information about what they're going to do. They need to identify the needs of the communities. We touched on this the last time. They need to also set clear goals. What is it that they want to achieve when they go into these community services projects? And their goals need to be, you know, specific. You know, we say measurable. They need to be objective. You know, so they need to make sure that they put proper research and proper planning for these, and also to make these projects to be effective and having an impact, they need to collaborate. They need collaborations, they need partnerships with organizations around them. They need to profile different organizations and align themselves accordingly so that they can see this is what we can do. And if this is what we can do with this organization, we'll get the maximum impact, you know. So community involvement, they must make sure that they involve as many community members as possible, you know, so that at the end of the day, the impact can be felt by the community members, because they'll be actually zooming in, Zama, and addressing their needs. And once this is said and done, it's imperative, therefore, for them to reflect and evaluate their actions, evaluate their programs, see how they made impact and where, and assess the effectiveness of anything that they did, you know. And at the end of the day, they need to make sure that by the impact that they make in the communities, they make sure that the skills are developed, knowledge is developed on their side, or also on the communities that they work on. Because remember, we said this is a relationship of mutual benefit. So the impact should be felt both ways, by the students themselves and also from the communities as well. And what is also very critical and imperative in this regard to evaluate if it's effective and impactful, they need to learn from the experiences that they have encountered when they were engaging in these projects. Because again, if projects, Zama, are sustainable, that shows that these projects had impact and they've made a difference. So if they check and see that these projects that they've started are sustainable over a period of time, you know, then they can see that they've been impacted. So it's imperative, therefore, for them, when they develop these projects, that they must have strategies in place to see how best will they be able to sustain these projects over the period of time. And also, what is also critical is that programs may begin small, but will they be in a position to expand those projects, to explore different ways of expanding those projects and even impacting more people and even having more people on board? Remember, we're talking about long-term effects, and the last time we spoke about this. So yes, Zama, it's very, very important for them to be able to understand that when they do these projects, these projects need to be impactful and make a difference. So what they need to understand sometimes is that for them to be successful in this regard, they need to start small. You know, they need to start small. And then also, like water, they need to be flexible because, you know, they cannot control the dynamics of where they're at. So when the situation changes, they also need to be pliable and be able to diversify and change and modify their projects to the situations. And most importantly, very, very most importantly, they must ask for feedback. Have survey forms that they give to the communities so they can be able to ascertain and assess their impact.
Now, I'm sure that there may be some ethical considerations, you know, of involving students in community development. Are there any?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I remember that we're talking community service here. And when we're talking community service, we're talking issues of morality, issues of ethics. So it's imperative that our students need to know that when they do, when they go out there, they need to represent, you know, the school very well, and they need to find. So basically, a risk assessment of Azama needs to be done. They need to have a risk assessment to see if they go out of there, what is it that they're going to find out there, and what are the challenges that they may encounter. And also, the teachers need to make sure that there's enough supervision that is put in place so that when students are out, they are supervised. You know, when students, when they're out there on their own, they can tend to misbehave. So ethical issues are very critical, because at the end of the day, the community members that should be receiving the students or working with them, if their students are not ethical and moral, this might just backfire to the school and the project itself may collapse. So basically, as we know, as Africans, we always talk about culture and we respect culture. So respect, issues of respect are also very, very critical for these learners to be there and be able to do whatever they do in a very, very ethical way. Therefore, it entails to them the choices that they need to make. You know, the decisions that they need to take out, they need to definitely speak to the issues of morality and also of ethics.
Yeah, very important. Now, what would you say, Lindy, are the best ways to evaluate the effectiveness of community service programs in general?
Yeah, Zama, this question is almost the same like the one that I answered earlier on. Hey, to say, yeah, correct. Yeah, you know, evaluation is very critical. You know, in everything and everything that we do, we need to continuously and consistently evaluate ourselves. And so is the case with the students here. Yeah. Mm. And remember, other students are also, you know, not well versed with the communities, the projects, working in those businesses, in those companies, and all that. So continuously, their actions need to be evaluated. Now, there's different ways of actually making these evaluations. There could actually be quantitative evaluations, Zama, where they can actually look at the number of hours, you know, that they've served, and they should track the number of hours to see how best have they served the community. They can even look at the number statistics now of the people, you know, that they've actually impacted. So that data is very critical to make sure that they're actually mapping the impact. And also, if there's any fundraising that is involved, then there's these financial calculations need to be done so that at least those figures can tally and be able to say, okay, fine, this is where we were before when we started, and this is where we are now, and mapping their progress. And also, they're also qualitative. Other than quantitative, Zama, there's qualitative measures. Now, this is where students have to reflect. They need to reflect, keep a journal, keep a documents, you know, get feedback, get everything, put it together and be able to sit down and measure their progress. And also, like I said earlier on, giving out survey to community members, they can get proper feedback, honest, objective feedback from stakeholders, from businesses out there, and those can actually be able to give them an assessment of where they're at, you know. And then also, remember when they started, I said they need to have their outcomes, their objectives. So basically, they need to look at the project outcomes to see, has the project really achieved what it was set to achieve? So they can use various tools, Zama, to achieve this. You know, they can use surveys, as I've said earlier on. They can use questionnaires. They can have focus groups that they talk to. They can use reports, you know, get reports, analyze those reports, and so on and so forth. So, yes, there's various ways where they can measure their impact in the communities.
In terms of discouragement on the part of learners, how is that one going and how is it handled?
You know what? Learners need to be kept motivated, Zama, at all times. First and foremost, remember we said the schools need to design, the parents need to be involved, governing bodies, and anybody that is a stakeholder. Because why? Learners need to know that their first and foremost is a safe space, they're protected. They also need to know that at the end of the day, there's somebody that is out there looking out for them. So basically, it is imperative, therefore, that learners are talked to. Motivational talks need to be spoken to learners, given to learners. At the end of the day, learners, when they come back from the field, they need to also be as checked to say, how did it go? How do you feel? The emotional state, Zama, is important. The mental state is also very important and critical. So therefore, continuously checking on them day to day helps them. When you see them going down, because sometimes they go, I've seen sometimes they go into shelters, they come out depressed and discouraged. Some of them instead come out saying, you know what, I've seen this mother is lacking there. We used to take them sometimes to homeless shelters, to squatter camps. They'd say, you know, ma'am, I saw a child, the child did not have shoes. And really, you know, I've got a pair of shoes that I'd like to give. And those things, we need to continuously encourage them, keep them motivated, tell them, check where they're at, so that at the end of the day, you allow them to speak about their experiences. Give them flowers, encourage them. When they are down, pull them up. When they feel they can't go on anymore, motivate them, give them results, but continuously check with them where they're at. And in that way, you keep them highly motivated, and therefore they'll be able to finish what they started.
In a very continuously engaged manner. Wow, that's a beautiful one. Thank you so much, Lindy. I truly appreciate your time and coming through here. I think this is a very important subject, man, for a number of you know, parents and also students. Before I let you go, the role of parents in this work, the community service.
Yes. Parents are, I said even the last time, parents are critical partners in this equation, Zama, because at the end of the day, remember, they are the parents, their children belong to them. their school, they're the ones that are funding the school through their school fees and everything. They are the ones at the end of the day when there's a need on behalf of the children, they're the ones that need to be there. They are the ones at the end of the day that have to deal with students that may come home discouraged, students that may feel that's not serving. So parents need to be clued up with exactly from the very onset of the project. Parents need to be part of it. They need to be told what is set out. And other parents, remember, at the end of the day, are very much skilled in various areas. So they can actually come in handy in terms of guiding the process and guiding the project. They can come in only by offering also mentorship programs themselves to their children and even to the teachers. Parents themselves also, remember, already in the communities, they're in business, they're in organizations. So parents can actually be very, very important in terms of even making connections for these students and schools, you know, linking them up with organizations and projects that can benefit them. So parents are critical. Even when there's fundraising issues, parents will also be a source, a very source that will be able, because remember, they've got vested interest in making sure that this succeeds as well.
Beautiful stuff. Thank you so much, Lindi Munye, for your time and always, you know, coming. It's a very passionate subject. And I thank you so much for clarifying some of the issues. And I do hope that parents are listening out there, have taken a very keen, you know, interest in this. And go out there, check out with your, you know, your children. And, of course, check out with the teachers as well and see how you can also best be involved. Lindi, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Zama, and may God bless you.
Thank you. Blessings.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.